A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 509. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Tales of Unease. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This was an ITV anthology series that was sort of a horror anthology, but true to its title, it crossed genres with different things that had an uneasy sort of feel to them, with a mixture of supernatural tales, science fiction, psychological type things, and tales of suspense. It was delivered in 25-minute episodes. There were 7 of them that broadcast in 1970, produced by London Weekend Television for the ITV network. And there are some interesting stories and some interesting cast in this.
Certainly are. And we are going to continue by looking at the last 3 episodes. Superstitious Ignorance, broadcast on November 27th, 1970 on London Weekend Television. This was by Michael Cornish, directed by Oscar Whitbread. In it, Jeremy Clyde and Tessa Wyatt are a sort of young, well-off couple who are house hunting in trendy Chelsea in London. They visit a rather dilapidated 3-storied Victorian house in what the estate agent tells them is an up-and-coming neighbourhood. And they're very much looking to buy this property and renovate it into their dream home. But of course, for this series, things are not going to go quite according to plan on this one, Brian.
Yes, the current tenant, Mrs. Laristo, played by Eve Pierce, and her many children are reluctant to let them in to look and talk about the house being bad. And there is a particular room that they do not want them to enter.
All very mysterious, and gives us a conflict between the old and the new. The couple are very sort of trendy and 1970s. There's also something happening between modern London and sort of maybe more traditional Eastern European folklore or superstitions. It's a bit strange. Without spoiling it, I'm not sure. This is more of a psychological sort of thriller than a sort of supernatural story, but it does have some nice stuff in there. And I am very taken, as you know, Brian, by the filming of the couple driving their VW beach buggy car along the trendy King's Road in Chelsea, which is a lovely sort of period detail for me.
Oh, yes. This is, I think, very much the classism episode in this. There are others that have something to that as well, but yeah, you have a lot of this very upscale British couple, the husband especially, talking down to this Eastern European woman and, you know, disregarding and disrespecting their beliefs. And the idea of calling it superstitious ignorance is interesting, because that's sort of about how he sees the beliefs of people who are different. So that was, yeah, one that has some interesting things in it too.
Indeed. Yeah, it is an interesting one. Now, deep breath.
Yes, we have to talk about Bad Bad Jojo, which aired on December 4th. It was directed by Dirk Bennett. It was written by James Leo Harrelly, who wrote the 1965 novel Midnight Cowboy, which was adapted to an Oscar Best Picture winning film of the same name in 1969. That was more successful than this.
Yes.
Roy Dotrice plays a very successful writer who is visited in his fancy New York penthouse by 2 young fans who eventually dress up as his famous characters and proceed to torment him. will note that there is some unfortunate discriminatory language in this. It's quite unpleasant to look at now. Detrice is playing a stereotypical gay character, and the portrayal and a lot of what we have in this episode are really quite homophobic. So this was an uncomfortable one to look at, for sure.
It is very uncomfortable watching, and you can imagine that this must have been a big get for them to get an episode by James Leo Hurley after the success of Midnight Cowboy. Unfortunately, this is what he produced, is Bad Bad Jojo. I will say that the two fans, when they are in character as the sort of writer's most famous creations, they have a certain similarity to the main duo from Midnight Cowboy. But this, of course, this episode is nowhere near as successful or as powerful as that film. In fact, I've watched all of the episodes twice, Brian, as you know, and I still don't know what this episode is trying to do or say. It's just a very uncomfortable watch of something that's not very good.
Yeah, it really doesn't work. And I sort of wonder if the director and the performer understood what the writer was doing, if maybe there was something that didn't work there. I'm not sure, but yeah, it doesn't work very well and is also quite difficult to look at, certainly at this point.
Okay, well, let's let that big breath out and turn to something that's actually a bit more fun, Brian. The final episode.
Yes, The Old Banger, broadcast on December 11th, written by Richardson Morgan and directed by Quentin Lawrence. And this one has Terrence Rigby and Pinky Johnstone playing a couple with an old, unreliable car that they want to just get rid of, and they can't seem to.
And this is 1970, difficult to find a way to get rid of an old banger. So they come up with this plan to remove its license plate, dump it on a sort of side street somewhere in South London, and basically just abandon it. But then they learn, as the episode goes on, through a variety of sort of reports, that this car appears to be slowly moving and working its way back towards them. Keeps getting spotted in different streets, and when they look on the map, it's getting closer and closer towards them in some unknown mechanism or fashion. Now, this one is, it's got a supernatural theme to it, but it's also slightly comedic. There's sort of funny moments in this one. And it's a quite nice tale to finish us off with, Brian.
Yes, I don't think it's one of the very strongest episodes of this show, but it is a good way to end that. It is pretty good. It is a fun one for sure.
And I'll quickly note that it predates Stephen King's Christine by 13 years.
Wow.
So here's London Weekend Television giving us possibly a possessed car in 1970.
Interesting. So talking about anthology shows, we have looked at a number of anthology sci-fi and horror shows. Out of the Unknown and Out of This World were science fiction anthology shows, and Out of the Unknown did sort of get more in the horror direction in the later years. But we've also talked about things like Chiller and the 1970s Supernatural show, and of course Dead of Night,
which was a goodie. Yeah.
Yeah, and we had mentioned Beasts last time as well, so there was that too.
Mm.
There are almost always interesting episodes in those. They tend to be good ways to adapt short stories and give us some interesting things with something a little different each time.
And I guess with any anthology series, there's going to be good parts and bad parts. In some of the ones we've mentioned, we are limited by what survives in the archive as well. But we've always found something interesting in the anthology shows that we have covered to date. With any anthology, you're always going to like some better than you do others. We have talked about at least one of the sort of modern successors in anthology horror or tales of unease, which is, of course, we did Black Mirror, or at least we did the Channel 4 series of Black Mirror. We know, of course, Inside Number 9 has now wrapped up after 9 successful series. So that's possibly on our radar for the future for a sort of modern anthology series.
Yeah, there are certainly interesting things there, and always great to see what Black Mirror is doing. I continue to follow that. And then, of course, there is a 1980s show called Tales of the Unexpected, and we may get to that. It has 112 episodes at 25 minutes each, ran for 9 series. So that may be something we get to, although there's a lot to look at. But yeah, quite a few of these have been done, and there are always some interesting odds and ends that show up with them.
Absolutely. And of course, as you say, Brian, Tales of the Unexpected is, of course, the biggie. We may get to that at some point in the future.
Yes, indeed. So I think it's time to get to some of our own thoughts, and maybe we'll go back and forth between general thoughts and individual episodes. But Eamon, what to start with did you like with Tales of Unease?
Well, as you know, Brian, I like an anthology horror series. I like an anthology horror film. I like an anthology horror on TV. I realize as I say that horror might not be the most accurate description for Tales of Unease, but I do like the fact that we've got this very early 1970s anthology series to look at. I quite like the concept of anthologies, Brian. What about you?
I do as well, and I like the fact that this one sits sort of at the border of several genres, that we can have things that are clearly science fiction and things that are clearly supernatural and things where you're maybe not quite sure where they are, or that are more psychological and don't have speculative fiction aspects. There are some interesting things going on here, and I like how it sits at that sort of border of several genres and takes the unease idea from the title to heart.
Now, in terms of the look of the show, we've got mostly, I think apart from the Black Goddess, it's mostly sort of 1970s set or thereabouts. So in terms of sets and costumes and the look of it, what did you make of all of that, Brian?
I thought it was really good, actually. I thought it was a little varied from episode to episode, which I liked. This is 1970, so it's early still for color TV on ITV. And I thought they did, a really nice job with doing it in color. And yeah, I thought the locations worked really well. There were a number of episodes that had very prominent locations to them, and the ones that were done on set, that worked well too. So yeah, I liked how this looked, especially for that time.
Yeah, I did too. I think it's very well done. I love the sets. I love the outside filming. I thought the Black Goddess episode, wherever they filmed that, produces a very sort of claustrophobic feel to it. That's the one that does have period costumes in it, of course. And of course, that period, or those period 1930s breathing apparatus that the rescue team use. So I thought that was all extremely well done for this show. What about the writing? Of course, it's variable because we've got different writers throughout. What did you make of the writing of the episodes?
Yeah, as you say, it varies from episode to episode. Most of it I liked. Bad Bad Jojo, certainly I did not. But the others ranged from being pretty decent to being ones that I really liked in terms of writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the whole, I like that.
Okay. We've got, obviously, quite a cast of actors, some of them fairly well known to us and some less familiar. Any particular standout performances that you want to mention in this show?
Why don't you start with the cast and what you thought of the performances in this?
I liked Rachel Kempson's practically one-woman show in the It's Too Late Now episode, where she has to, in 25 minutes, tell us the whole story, including all the backstory of her character and her marriage and the hopes and disappointments along the way. I thought that was a standout performance. I also liked, obviously, Telfrin Thomas. I love seeing Telfrin Thomas on screen in a sort of very serious role here, leading the rescue bid in Black Goddess. So that was great. And then Susan George, just before she became more famous for Hollywood movies in the 70s, a very young Susan George in the first episode. So I liked all the cast, really, but those were the standouts for me.
Yeah, I'm going to agree that the performances, and I'm again setting aside Bad Bad Jojo as being uncomfortable and sort of a separate thing from the others. I like the performances as a whole. I think the ones that you mentioned were definitely very good and stand out. It was also nice to see James Hazeldine in there. And I like the performances, particularly in Calculated Nightmare. It was a small cast, and I think the two people under pressure did it quite well, and the voice performance of the person who's threatening them was particularly good.
Very nice. I'll quickly mention, while we're still talking about positives, and before we get into some of the individual episodes, I'll mention the title sequence and that eerie fear. Library music is quite good. Like I said last time, it's not the most creepy title sequence for one of these shows that we've seen, but it still manages fairly well to give you the unease of the title.
Yeah, it does a decent job at setting the tone.
So while we're doing positives, which were the episodes that really stood out to you, Brian?
Well, my favorite is definitely Calculated Nightmare.
Interesting.
I thought that was really good. I also particularly liked Black Goddess, which does sort of some interesting things with that coal mining setting and the tension there and the ideas of people being stuck in this situation and not being valued compared to the coal itself. So a number of sort of interesting ideas and interesting things going on in there. And of course, there's also It's Too Late Now, which is a standout. So yeah, there are a number of things that I quite liked in this.
Okay. I think the first four episodes are the best. My top three, I think, would be the same as yours.
Oh, interesting.
Calculated Nightmare, It's Too Late Now, and Black Goddess. I would probably put It's Too Late Now at the top, just for that Rachel Kempson performance. And Black Goddess manages to be incredibly claustrophobic and tense episode. The last three episodes, I mean, Superstitious Ignorance and Old Banger have interesting stuff in them, but they're not quite as good as the first four episodes. I think we're both going to agree that Bad Bad Jojo is the worst of the seven, Brian.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Superstitious Ignorance is, it's an interesting one. I do like it because the way it was portraying the sort of classism and racism or anti-immigrant type sentiments of the central character, I thought was interesting for that time.
Yeah.
You know, it really was quite clear about how dismissive the central characters are. And yeah, the way the sort of there's an ambiguously supernatural type element there. And I thought that worked well too.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Now, I'm noting that you have talked about how this show crosses genres and how the title Tales of Unease actually might be quite appropriate, because these are stories that do leave us slightly edgy and feeling a bit strange without perhaps knowing quite why. Of all of the anthology series we've covered, I'm not sure if it's the up in the top rank of anthology shows, but it's pretty good in terms of producing that slight unease and crossing boundaries of genre.
Yeah, it sits in a slightly different place than the other things we've covered. Even Black Mirror, which some people have said in the Netflix episodes that it's sort of gone to a bit of a different place, it still has sort of those strong thematic tendencies, and we tend to get definite horror anthologies and definite sci-fi anthologies. This felt like it had the latitude to do some different things. And that, I think, was sort of the strong suit in it.
Yeah, absolutely. A chance to do something different on television, 1970. Seven different stories. With any anthology show, as we've said repeatedly, you're going to find ones that you like and ones that you don't like. But there's some interesting stuff here, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perhaps the less said, the better about Bad Bad Jojo.
Yeah.
Possibly riding the success of Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah, so we should talk about negatives, and the obvious one is that Bad Bad Jojo had, you know, this quite homophobic stuff in it, and it was quite unpleasant, and I think didn't work for either of us as an episode.
No, not at all. It contains at least two, if not more, terrible words which would never be broadcast on television now, and it has some stuff about violence on the streets of New York, which we glimpse on television, but I don't really know what it's trying to tell us about 1970 New York at all. And the central sort of character and the way he interacts with these two fans is very dodgy stuff, really. It's just bad, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So is there anything negative you want to talk about for the other episodes?
Not really for me, Brian. I don't really have anything else in the negative column that we haven't already mentioned. I think this series is almost great, but doesn't quite get there with some of the episodes. Some of the episodes, I think, are on the edge of greatness, but not quite. So there is a little bit of variability. There is a little bit of feeling that this is an interesting one rather than a superb one. But I still found lots to enjoy while watching the show, as I say, twice for this recording. What about yourself? Did you have any other negatives?
There's not a lot. There's the thing that you noted, that the better episodes tend to be all at the beginning, and the last few are not quite as strong in some respects. So there is that. And yeah, you could view it as being a little inconsistent because of it, you know, the stronger episodes being at the beginning and because it has the sort of changing genre. But I was sort of happy with the changing genre. So on the most part, one episode aside, I'm pretty happy with this. I would not mind coming back to it.
Okay, well, it sounds like we should be getting to recommendations for this DVD release of the seven episodes, Brian. Do you want to start us off?
Sure. So I enjoyed this. I will recommend it. I definitely like the variety of things it has in it. And it has, you know, of seven episodes, there's one that is completely skippable and, you know, three or four that are very strong. So, you know, there's definitely some good stuff here. So I'll say, yeah, I do recommend it.
Okay, I'm going to say the same, actually. For £13 for the DVD, if you've got an interest in 1970s shows, if seeing a little bit of what London looked like in 1970, I would say, yes, watch Tales of Unease, but just skip the episode Bad Bad Jojo. Don't watch that one. If you do decide to watch it, be warned that it is uncomfortable viewing. But as ever, if you think we've got it wrong and it's actually got something interesting to say, then please get in touch and let us know.
Absolutely. I would love to hear thoughts about any or all of the episodes from this one. So, in summary, Tales of Unease was an anthology series that gave us episodes that were uneasy, but not quite in the horror genre, and dipped into science fiction and supernatural and often psychological things, with topics ranging from automation and computers doing a great deal of work that had been done by people previously, and topics like the conditions in coal mining in the 1930s, and more supernatural topics and things like the difficult dynamics between a husband and wife turning into something rather difficult and challenging itself. So an interesting variety of things.
Interesting stuff. And please come back and join us next time. We will be taking one of our roughly once a year detours to follow a show that we have previously covered into another medium. And so for this time, we will be looking at Robin of Sherwood, but we have been listening to the audiobooks, some audio dramas, and one narrated story. So we've got four different Robin of Sherwood tales to talk about next time, Brian.
Yes, that should be a fun one to get back to Robin of Sherwood, an old favorite. Until then, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there as well. We are on Threads and on Instagram. We are British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Yes, please say hello on the socials. Tell us what you think of Tales of Unease. And please come and find us along with other podcasts and geek content at the Voice of Geeks Network, which you can find by pointing your browser at voguenetwork.com. Tell them we said hello.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. This is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. And until next time, it's Eamon in England, and I'm off to park my Doom buggy on the King's Road.